here, I want to address two things. Firstly, something that was connected to Rav Wexler's talk, and then to really start this year. At the age of 19, when I was shown of death, everyone in this room, I assume, knows, I had made a decision. Well, let's go back. When I was in high school, I was looking for an Israeli program, which I had in my mind, which I only heard that it doesn't exist. I was in the mood to go, and I don't know if I could or couldn't have, but I was not in the mood to spend the whole day learning Torah. So I came into my principal's office and told him, I want to do this program. I heard about it. It's half a day army, half a day learning. Sounds a good program. All right, I'll learn half a day. We'll go to the army the other half a day. Sounds good. And I looked into it a little bit more. There is no such creature. Machal is 9 months of learning Torah, followed by 9 months in the army. Okay. So that was in the back of my mind. I already explained to some guys in this yeshiva that my Shana Aleph, I honestly will say I didn't waste a minute. It's not an exaggeration. Since then, I've wasted too many minutes. But Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, I did not waste a minute. I could not have squeezed more out of my Shana Aleph, Shana Bet than I did. I have no regrets, except that now I'm tired 20 years later. But the question after an amazing Shana Aleph was, what do I want to do Shana Bet? I want to go to the army. Of course, I've tried my parents, blah, 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 no way, yeah, okay, whatever. Youngest of five was a lot easier. My, back on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I asked my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Steiner, who I hope you'll have an opportunity to hear from him this year, that question. What does he think I should do? Again, think of someone who's really learning. I'm not exaggerating. 3 hours a night I slept. I did not leave the base medrash before 3 o'clock, and I woke up at 6, 6.30. In the afternoon I slept for an hour during the break when we didn't have basketball leagues. Okay, so basically 3 hours at night, 1 hour during the day. As I told you already, none of my mother's relatives, none of my mother's neighbors took me out to eat. That's it, you want to take me out? You should have thought about that when I get back to America. So the question was, that type of person, should I go to the army or not? He told me, he said, Michael, listen carefully. Shana Bet is key, and going to the army is key. Both are important values. If you go to Shana Bet this year, you can always do the army and you make Aliyah. If you go to army now, you'll never have a chance to do Shana Bet. And his suggestion, this is someone who Arayom is involved in the army and 70 years old. He's the number 2 guy in Merkaz Arab. And Chaim Steiner told me, he suggested, didn't tell me, in typical Rav Steiner way. You know a Gadol when he doesn't tell you what to do. He suggests, you do what you want. It's your decision. So he suggested that I come spend Shana Bet, because later on, I could always go serve my army duty then, when I make Aliyah. That's the first story. Unfortunately, by the time I came, I was older than 26, and after 26 years old, at this point, thankfully, the army doesn't need you. It's not worth them training you. You're an old geezer. And therefore, they don't want you. Right? So the end result was I didn't have a chance to serve in the real army. I did 2 weeks of a joke in Hebron during the Intifada, but that was a different story. Okay, let's connect it to what was said before. Why do I bring that up? The issue of army versus Shana Bet. Someone who is really serious about learning, chances are, net gain, which is my favorite term, and those who are in the staff know that term. Net gain, I think one should probably bank more time figuring out his Judaism and go to the army whenever that happens. Okay, to press a computer program or to do intelligence or to jam someone's cell phones before you rate a thing, you don't have to be in 22 years old in best shape. You could be 35 years old. To give all the assistance that if you ask any of these guys who are in good units, you ask them, this is some old lady, some lady sitting in thing with their ears. You don't have to be able to run 300 miles. Yeah, okay, so you won't be a frogman. Fine. Okay. Let's move to what I wanted to talk about. I'm sorry. Let's talk of the comment. Again, from Steiner and another Rebbe who I also love and adore, but is different, I think, approach. Both of them are big, tremendous tzionim. If your parents went to BMT, they both had them. I'm sorry, your father had both of these rabbis. One rabbi said to me, Michael, make Aliyah now. What you heard today from Rabbi West. It'll be easier now. You'll find a wife here now. You'll find some job like every other Israeli. You'll support your family that you'll find here. At that time, you'll move to Efrat for $150,000. Now, forget about it. Multiply it by five. Okay? All you need to do at that time was to earn 17 grand, and you'll be fine. Be perfect. No problem. You have clothing on your back. You have this. No problem. That was Rabin. Chaim Steiner came and said to me, Michael, and he knew already I was very seriously going out with Atara. We knew already that we were going to get married, etc. He said, Atara, he said, Yoi, he said, Michael, very simple. Make Aliyah with Seichel. I said, what's Pshat make Aliyah with Seichel? He says, go back to the States. Trust me, no one would call him a non-Tzioni, as I said. When Rav Shapira died last year, Shapira was the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Arab. Rav Kook's Yeshiva was the Israeli chief rabbi in the 80s. There were two people who spoke right before. One was the Sephardic chief rabbi, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, and then Rav Chaim Steiner. So no one's checking his Zionistic credentials, okay? When you hear that the Zionistic rabbis declared that you should vote for X, he's one of the four people listed. So Rav Chaim Steiner told me, he said, make Aliyah with Seichel. Go back to the States, get a degree, get married, get experience, so you can have it on your resume, put away as much money as you can, and then come back. Who's right and who's wrong? There is no right answer. On one hand, and I was talking to somebody a few days ago, on one hand, coming back to Eretz Yisrael with money in your pocket, a resume, and experience is good. On the other hand, the negative is, and I admit, it's me and my family, we got so accustomed to such a high social economic status in Great Neck, all the gadgets and toys and cars and all this stuff, that became the life that they expected here. What do you mean I'm sharing a room with my sister? What, are you kidding me? What do you mean we don't have a jacuzzi in the house? What do you mean I don't have a third of an acre? What do you mean, no, don't have two cars, blah, 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 etc. What do you mean I can't get, right, all the gadgets? But on the other hand, it was easier to come because I already had my degrees and my connections and the finances that I had, was able to save. Would it have been easier to stay here? Mine would never, you know, so we would have eaten, you know, we wouldn't have eaten at Papagayo's. No, okay, it wouldn't kill us. I look at someone else. We wouldn't have eaten at Papagayo's, it wouldn't kill us. Okay, if we didn't go out to eat once a week, it wouldn't kill us. All right? But the reality is, I don't know what's better. For some guys, it would be better to be here, never have tasted, you know, the great motherland of America, right, and the fat of America. But I don't know. For me, I would tell you, personally, it was a lot more comfortable coming with money in my pocket and connections than not. But for my family, it was definitely much more difficult. To take my son in seventh grade, his bar mitzvah year, and remove him from his friends, it ain't easy. It's not. Even till today, it's not easy. It's gotten easier with time. But for sure, had we come before we had kids or when they were babies, there wouldn't have been a question. This is what they would have known. So there's a couple things. What's right, I don't know, but that's the machlokas between Rav Benny and Rav Steiner. Let's now focus on a bunch of stuff. We had a speaker here a few weeks ago. When am I supposed to finish? Never. Good, I'll make up all the time that everyone lost for Thanksgiving. Okay. We had a speaker in this base medrash 2 weeks ago who got up and I feel was blasphemous. He should have listened to his old mother who survived the Holocaust. He got up here and I asked him the question. Everyone in this room knows it. I said, you would rather, remember that picture? Let's just go over the details for those who are listening who didn't hear. One, they have information that an Arab terrorist is about to blow himself up. They know the blueprints of his house. They surround his house and they go to the house. Right? He hears them, the juke on the screen, you saw it, looked like a little, runs out, tries to go into one person's house, the neighbor doesn't let him in, goes to the next neighbor, lets him in. They surround the house, they tell everybody to come out, so what happens, the owners come out, remember, you guys remember that? The owner comes out, then they announce the three little kids come out, they know nobody else is in the house. Who's in the house? The terrorists. So he's so proud. Look what's coming next.
I'm going to sacrifice 6 boys. My son, you, your brother. Because why? They don't want to ruin the person's house. So one by one, they when they go through a door, they don't know where these guys are going. They don't know where this guy's hiding behind a couch with a machine gun about to blow their heads off or throw hand grenades. But he's proud. Because that's Torah Neshek. That's a high ethical standard. So I asked him, you were here. I said, what, you're telling me it was worthwhile to endanger 6 people because of a terrorist? I didn't ask him, no, you want to be a chosid tzaddik? So pay them to rebuild the house. So give him $250,000, let him rebuild the house of the innocent bystander. May or may not be so innocent. And he stood here and he said, that's what I'm proud of. I'm sorry to tell you. I'm not proud of that. Someone should walk around blown off legs because they didn't want to blow up a house. His mother had it right. This Holocaust survivor. I think he's way off base. I think he's a Jew. And I can't say because he served in the army and he's seen many more people dead in his arms than I have. But he's a Jew who, there's a phrase, he would rather, and I can't speak for him, but that type of thing, rather have a monument saying, oh, Jews lived in this corner of Prague for 200 years, and now there are none, but we have a nice plaque. And the shul will turn into a museum, or in a graveyard. I'm sorry, and I said this once before, let the UN curse me out, I'll be alive. Let the UN put sanctions on Israel, but we'll be alive, than to be a little nebuchadnezzar thing, almost dead. And everyone will say, oh yeah, we remember. We have a moment of silence for the country that was named Israel. I disagree completely with that approach. I think it's ridiculous. Why do I disagree with that approach? That's what I'd like to spend time with you right now. I'm not talking politics. I'm not talking what's called real politics, which guys would say, hey, let's get real. After all, if America doesn't give money to Israel, what's going to happen? By the way, people should do. You guys are computer savvy. It's going to be very difficult. Find out. What is the gross economic, what's called GDP of Israel versus the budget that they get from Israel, from America? By the way, don't throw off numbers. Do it. I want life to see it. No. What it is compared to the assistance that they get. And remember one thing. When the military assistance, which by the way is a load of money, comes from Congress, what's the Tanai connected to it? Why do we use M-16s? Why don't we have our own F-16 airplanes, which there was a kfir that they canceled, Lavin? Why did they cancel it? Why was there a gun that was 10 times better than M-16 that didn't jam, but we don't use that anymore?
Tabor.
Why? Excuse me. No. Before the Tabor was a Galil and Golan. I trained with it. How come? How come? Because the Tanai on all that money is has to be spent in American purchasing. We're giving you money, but you have to pump it back into the economy. Understand what happened here? I'm not. It's a terrific present. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. But the Tanai is that this money has to be spent on American products, which is why the Israelis, on their job nicknames, they walk around with American uniforms. Why they have M16s and F16s and not anything else, and why they didn't build their own. Pardon?
F16s are really, really cheap.
M16, you know why? Because they jam. Why they have problems in Vietnam? The piece of garbage. The Galeon was designed like the Uzi. You dump it in mud, you stick it in water, you press fire, it still goes. M16 has to be clean. You don't think about guns, it has to clean all the time in oil. That's why the trap door in Vietnam, they had to keep it closed all the time because it gets jammed. It blows up in your face. Okay. American quality. Just ask Ford versus Toyota about American quality. All right. Let's go. We're going to do a bunch of Rambams. Rambams are easy. I'm in a lapel. What time are we finishing?
Next thing is postponed
at
5:45. If you need a little bit more time.
All right, let's go. Guys in the back, let's go. We want to welcome back all the visitors to Shvile HaTorah. Hagler, let's go. By the way, you're far from being the... I'm sorry, there's nobody here by that name. Okay, you in the back with the white yarmulke. Spent 3 days with your father. Go ahead. Let's go. That's only the underline. Don't worry, you're going to get yours too, but I won't announce your name. Let's go. Yeah, what? Whoa. Rabbi Michal's Malachim Perek Vav Halacha Aleph. Maybe it's the wrong page.
Okay?
Let's go. Okay, there's two types of milchama. One is milchama mitzvah, three categories, but they're not important for now for this conversation. One is a required milchama, the one that most applies to us besides conquering Eretz Yisrael, is protecting a Jew wherever they are. Protecting a Jew wherever they are is a mitzvah deraita, not mitzvah deraita, mitzvah, okay? How it is, not for this discussion, a mitzvah to protect the Jew anywhere they are, okay? That's basically our wars that we do today. Okay, or mitzvah Melchemet Rishu, which doesn't apply today. After you've conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, you're David HaMelech, or you're Shlomo HaMelech, and you want to now conquer Lebanon because you like their trees, and you want to have their trees and their gold, so that's a different reason. Fine. We did some of these halachos. I told you that we're going to, one of my chavrusas. So what do? Before I go to war, before I drop the atomic bomb, I send a pamphlet. We want to make peace. You want to make peace? That's what it says. Melchemet Mitzvah, Melchemet Rishu. Okay? You have to ask them, do you want to make peace? You want to make peace, we're good. Okay? It says what? Next line, next skip until the next underline, go ahead. The person who I called on before, yes? Go ahead, no? Ain. Rehan Lamas. What's the condition? What's the condition? There are two conditions according to the Rambam. They say they want peace. What is peace? Number one, they subjugate themselves, and they pay taxes. And number two, they observe Shavuot Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Clearly, also you're not killing me, right? That's what peace means, right? Except when you deal with modern day peace, then peace means only a little bit of death. Then it's okay, right? Moderate Arab, I once heard, kills you moderately. Yeah, okay, all right. So what's the two conditions? The two conditions is one, that he accepts Shavuot Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and two, they have to be able to pay taxes. Then the Rambam skips to the next thing. Lo kiblu avdut. They don't accept these conditions of being paying taxes and doing what you're telling them. Okay? Osh kiblu avdut, lo kiblu avdut. They don't want to pay taxes, whatever reason. Ain't shomim lehem. You don't listen to them. They have to accept both of that. What is this avdut that they have to do? They say they have to do whatever you ask them to do, and they have to be basically a nice, good boy. Behave. Okay, behave and pay your taxes. And don't worship Avodah Zarah. Okay? If they do that, you can live here peacefully. Everyone with me? Do you have to kill all Arabs?
No.
You don't have to kill all Arabs. Okay? Sorry for those guys in the background. Okay? If they were a good person who wants to live in Eretz Yisrael, b'vakasha. Okay? Next. Number two. Pick on somebody else who wasn't around so much today. Go ahead. Not today, this week. All right, Rambam, Hilchot Melachim, Berek Vavalacha. Hey, what does he say? Yoshua, what did he do historically? Let's go. No, I called on someone. Go ahead. Yoshua is about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Yoshua, they think you went there in fourth grade. Yoshua, yeah? He's almost as good as Moshe, right? Good, what did he do? He comes to conquer Eretz Yisrael. He sends three letters, three faxes, three I don't know what's, okay? Three, you know, the airplanes, they're right in the sky. You want to run? You want to run? Run. Start running. Go. Leave. You don't want to fight. You want to leave? Leave. Good. You want to make shalom? You want to stay in your houses because you like your house. You're this, that, in here. You like... You want to be shalom on what we said before, on those conditions? B'vakasha? No problem. No problem. Third? You want to fight? Let's fight. But you know what? This fight is not like with a pinky, you know, two hands behind your back in a fight with your nose. You want to fight? We'll fight. You have two options. You don't want to fight, it's fine. You have two options. You want to go away? Go away. You want to live a normal life. I'm going to put in politics, not politics. I'm just going to put in a picture. My wife has become more right-wing since we moved to Israel. Went to a hospital with our daughter. There's a guy giving out kosher sandwiches. One, two, three. There's about 20 people in this children's ward. Most of them are cancer patients. Okay?
giving out sandwiches. Haredi guy. Tara says to me, whispering, is he going to give to those two? An Arab family. The answer, yes. They don't have a problem using our hospital. In comes a doctor in Hebrew, in Hadassah. Arab doctor being trained. Go to Hebrew U. Arabs. Can they go and use the benefits of our country? Yes. What makes my wife more upset? You ever go to the Malcha Mall? Arabs walking around. If you would dare walk to Malcha Mall, it would be like a disaster. I mean, into an Arab mall, they'd shech you. But here they come to use our malls. Use our hospitals. Use our colleges. Who's paying for this? We are. So, okay, so be a normal person. I tried to explain this to an Arab once. In America, you don't have, well, I shouldn't say that, generally less of these problems. Why? Because I'm trying to make a living to support my family. You're trying to make a living to support your family. Shine, come on. I don't care what religion you practice. Right? I don't care. I don't care that my partner's Christian or Arab. It doesn't make a difference to me. If you're a good worker, we'll work together. Right? We're not looking to, I don't have to worry about it. I get stabbed in the back while I'm playing on my computer. Okay? So how come when I come to Israel, the same brother, the same uncle, I have to be worried? What's going on? And the answer is because it's different. You can't understand. In America, everyone's in America to earn a living. That's why they're there. That's why we're here. Right? Live and let live. Nachon? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, it doesn't matter. Do you care what works for you? No, as long as they do a good job. Comes Eretz Yisrael. They said, no. Let me give you the muscle of what I think Eretz Yisrael and why we have so many problems. Okay, you young man are married. Now you are, pretend, okay? It's your wife. But I want your wife for Monday and Tuesday. Is that okay? She'll be my wife Monday, Tuesday. What are you, crazy? How much? All right, the person will say it out. Yeah, okay, never to be married again. Okay? No, hello? That's what it is. Right? I get married. You're my wife. And I'll come in and, hello, honey. Hello, I like you. By the way, can I have you for a couple of days? What normal husband is going to say, sure, have her Monday and Tuesday, no problem. That's what it is. It's crazy. I don't know about you, I'd load my 9mm and put a bullet in the head. Okay, so maybe you'd be a little bit more civil. You'd slam the door on the kids, on the guy's nose, okay? What are you, crazy? You're out of your minds. So what happens? Hello, this is the problem. They say Eretz Yisrael is mine. They're both saying it's my wife. There's no winner. Can't cut the wife in half. Can't alternate every 3 days. So we say Eretz Yisrael is ours. They say Eretz Yisrael is ours. Now we have a fight. When I'm in America, there's no argument. We're all trying to make a living. So you want peace? That's fine. You want to run away? Run away. You want to fight? You don't want to fight. No one wants to fight. You have to fight. You're ready to fight. Okay. So that's the third one. Okay. Vaita. Let's go. Next. Number three is what happens when you surround. This is not, hello, you're not coming to give them shalach manas. Okay. You're coming to surround the community because you're in a battle. What does the Rambam say? Your turn. Everyone who missed is now making up. I'm just not saying your name on the tape. Let's go. Next, yeah? The Tafsa, I'm besieging a town in order to conquer it. Okay, what do I do? Hurry up. Let's go. We got to read quickly. You cannot surround it all four sides. What do you have to do? You have to surround three and leave them an escape hatch. Okay? Can't completely siege them. You have to give them an escape hatch. Okay? Next. Number four. Im lo yishlimu, next to you. The guy next to you. Yes, go ahead. They don't want to make Sholem, or they make Sholem, and they don't want to accept Sholem Mitzvahs. But Noach, what do you do? Does the Rambam speaking, you make a milchama? All men who are above the age of, I guess, puberty, or whatever the definition is of gedolim for non-Jews, okay, you kill him. Any possible person who's going to be a terrorist or a fighter, you kill him. The assumption was that women, pregnant women, the assumption, stupid Rambam, the assumption was that pregnant woman's not going to blow herself up, right? Welcome to our age. Ask some of the Madrichim. about making that ethical decision about the woman, pregnant woman, with a baby carriage, only to find out what's in a baby carriage.
Explosives.
And I have to worry, do I shoot or not shoot? Ask some of your madrichim. I have to wait. So that my friends have their legs blown off. But I'm happy because I'm such an ethical army.
You like that guy, didn't you?
I like the guy. I didn't like his last message. And by the way, I'm sorry to say, there are many people who feel that way. That the monument from the UN is more important than their nephew. My nephew's alive. He's missing two. We know. And the nephew alive missing two legs. That's fine. It's good. It's good. What's it? It's moderate.
If you're missing two legs, we're proud of you.
What?
I
don't know how many. I think many people change their tune when you're sitting in bed and can't get around because you have no legs and they call you moderately wounded. But yes, there are. I have a problem with it. I do. I don't understand. I'm sorry. The blood of a Jewish soldier is worth more than a terrorist. He said no. He said a terrorist and world opinion is worth more than a Jewish blood. I'm sorry. I disagree. Number four, we're in. Says, women we don't kill because they're not part of war. What would happen today? As I said, it's ridiculous. I don't know. All right, that's number four. Next page. Hilchos Shabbos. Time. Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Basically, the following halacha. We are in the middle of Tel Aviv, and we hear that the local mosque is blaring, "Bring Shalach Malas to the Jews." That's not what they're blaring. Right? They're coming. We see that they're coming. Ichbar Ali, you would kill the Jews. Okay? So if they're coming to kill you, the mistake, by the way, interesting, the Maccabim, there's a whole thing about that. Rav Goren has a whole mimer. At the time of Maccabim, they thought you can't even protect yourself on Shabbos, and a whole bunch of them got wiped out, so they were metakin and nutakon that you can fight. But anyway, okay, fine. So what happens if they come to kill you? Everyone agrees, Shabbos, Mechalel Shabbos, load your guns, get ready to fight. No problem. What if you hear they're only coming to steal your money, to steal your sheep? There's a shayla, and I'm sorry. Listen, if I was writing the halacha, it would be one way. Okay, that's not what the halacha is. So then you have to say, Raishel, be quiet. Okay. So what does he say? Yeah, rip that sheet out. Okay. So what does he say? So he says the following. He says that if they're coming, going to Tzvali Rodi Tzvali Mamon, they're only coming for money. They're only coming to steal your money, your car. Okay. Ain't mechalin at the shop. So when they're coming to steal your car, according to halacha, I can't shoot the guy. Okay. I'm not finished. One second. You don't do war. Okay? If they come for nefesh, then of course you can fight on Shabbos. Comes the next piece of the Rambam, which is brought down in the halacha. What if you are a border city? I'm on Gaza. They're not coming to kill me. They're coming to steal my sheep. Then the halacha is differently. If you're a town that's on the border, they're coming to steal your wheat, coming to steal your fruit, Yotzin Aleihem B'chizayin, you go out in war. I thought we said you don't. What's the difference between a border town and a regular town? What's in one second? What's the difference between a border town and a regular town? Logic, not halachic. Logic. What? New ones are born, therefore what? What? Okay, no, we know they're coming from, we know, there's a sign. We are only coming to steal your cars, that's the sign. Okay? And we believe that. Okay? Yeah, so what? You said what? No! Hello, yes, Sam.
If the border country is weakened, then the rest of the country is
weakened. Right, if the border caves in, then you have big problems. Everyone's going to come in. If you're in the middle of Tel Aviv, so Nishkefelech, so Tel Aviv, no, and I can have a mass border problem, okay? So that's the halacha, one second. That if the border falls, and that's really bad news for the Jews in Israel, right? Okay? So they said that halacha, if it's a border town, then you go, you fight even for financial. Ask your question. There's no halacha that states clearly. So the yesh v'yesh omrim, yesh omrim. Yesh omrim, Malei Adumim next to Yericho, is that considered a border town? Well, it's not really a border town, but what? If Malei Adumim allows itself to get run over and allows all their cars to be stolen, is anyone going to live in Malei Adumim? No, they're going to move out. What's going to happen? Boom. Right, what's going to happen in Baca? Ooh, wow. Multi-million dollar homes. Meanwhile, down the block is Abu Tur. Okay? Right? What about all these? So any community, those that want to argue, right, there's the nice part of Abu Tur, where Yoram Gaon lives, right? And then there's the border where the Arabs are. Okay, they used to throw things over the wall. Very nice. They still want to kill you. Be careful. Because last year they arrested 5 people from Abu Tur as they were smiling at you when you were going to your house. Okay, so the fact of the matter is, is that if there is a border town, it's about a 7-minute walk from here. Well, how about the one, you know, Amolan and Siv, you know where the nice Tayelet is, the promenade, which you've all seen? Yeah? How about 500 feet from there is the location of those two people, the one who killed Merkaz Arav and the other guy? That's where they live. Okay? 8-minute walk from here, 10-minute walk. Call me a liar. 20-minute walk! Get on your bicycle, okay? It'll be 5 minutes. Okay, Vaita. So we see there's a difference between a border town and one that's not. So those, there are those that argue. I'm saying to you, I'm telling you right now, it's not so pushy. There are those that argue that now in today's situation where the Arabs live amongst the Israelis, every community is considered a border town. Because in Akko, right, we had problems. In Akko, if the Jews leave Akko, the Jews leave Yaffa, what's going to happen? The Arabs will take over the whole community. Okay, so those who argue, it's not so pushy. That's one of the things. Okay. Next. So, let's just summarize, because then there's 3 other minor tangents here and there.
And then we'll close.
Excuse me, I see you and I'm ignoring you because of time. Sorry. Okay. So we see that you're supposed to approach a war with 3 different options, which we do till today, if you don't know. I mean, it's so pathetic, actually. They fly over Lebanon, they drop leaflets that say, we are going to come attack in 23 hours. We suggest that you leave. We are coming from the following coordinates. I mean, that they don't do, but it's ridiculous. Mamish, I mean, for the next 48 hours, we're coming. Okay. If you don't want, if you value your lives, you value the lives of your children, etc., etc., okay, please leave. Okay? We do it a little bit different. We actually say, do you want to make peace? And they say no, or they say yes, and they lie. Okay, whatever. All right? So, bottom line is, look, there's no peace. Okay? Then we fly over and say, you want to leave? Leave. Run. What happens? They don't let them run? Okay. So now the next thing is, it's time for war. So it's the same thing I feel very, very strongly. Besides Lebanon, let's deal with the Arab community that we have. Okay, those who want to live peacefully and earn a living, good, welcome to America. Behave, pay your taxes. Stop sharpening your axes, okay? Stop shooting at me. Don't stone me with rocks, okay? And live and be a good boy. And go get a degree, become a PhD and solve cancer. I don't care. We'll pay you to go solve cancer. And you don't have to go to the army, okay? By the way, Shirut Lumi is a good idea, and this I want to get on tape. Haredim and Arabs, what happens? They don't want to serve in the army. Because Chas V'Shalom, they should be put against their own thing. So what about saying to them, good, why don't you volunteer, and it came to the Knesset, why don't you volunteer in an Arab preschool, give out drinks in an Arab hospital, go paint the lines on an Arab road, I don't know, do something constructive. Haredim, go do Chesed, do something. No, we can't. The Arabs, they were brought up in the Knesset, the Arabs said, no, they'll be helping the country. What country would do that? If there was a mandatory draft, they gave you an option. You don't have to put your life on the line. You just have to give water to people in the hospital for 2 years, to your own brothers. So they came out, and the Arab Knesset members, which is kind of an oxymoron, we won't get into that right now, Arab Knesset members say, we can't subjugate the Arabs to the Jewish rule. They can't volunteer in their own communities. Not asking you to volunteer in my community. The Druze, not Arabs. There are Druze soldiers, and many of them get killed because they do a lot of the tracking, etc. They're not Arabs. Okay, they're not Muslims. I should be, someone corrected me about something else. They're not Muslims. Druze is a separate religion. Okay? Okay, Druze. Okay. Okay. Let's talk about something else. All right? We've already discussed the reality, or as far as I see it, that if they want to make peace, let them sit on their gold toilets with PhDs in hand
and be a contribute to the society and figure out how we'll get more water in Israel. Okay? Because they use the same water that we do.
By the way,
next! Okay, right. It's also an issue that Papa Guy only has a cheaper thing before 5 shows. Okay, let's go. Next question. Next question. Coming along, guy in a pink shirt. Let's go. Yes, I know his name. We just don't want to call his name out. Okay, number 7. All right, the underline. Shh. What about, young kids? I'm going to start with a story. And I won't tell you what happened to because it was very sensitive. The person who you know, who's affiliated with this yeshiva, his brother was in the back of a Jeep. He was in the army, back in a Jeep. As they were driving through an Arab community, he sees that they're starting to throw rocks. And he sees a guy light a Molotov cocktail about to throw it at his Jeep. Okay? The guy asks permission because we have to be holier than thou. So, God forbid, it will take a split second for the commander not to hear me, and I can't shoot unless I get permission, because I can get court-martialed and thrown in jail, right? So what happens? He asks permission, can I shoot the guy with the mouth of cocktails about to throw a bomb into my Jeep? You have to ask permission. That's normal, right? I'm proud of that. Yeah, get burnt up. So he asks permission, the commander says yes, the guy shoots him, the bottle breaks on the guy and incinerates the guy. He now has trauma. Someone who we know, his brother now has trauma. I told him, I said, can you please tell him to, he's a frum guy. I told him, can you please learn these Rambams? It's not someone who has wanted peace. He's about to throw a bomb into your Jeep. Be happy you killed an enemy and you saved the guys in your Jeep. Here's the halacha. Rodeith, let's go. Period. I'm stopping you. A rodef, this is Shulchan Aruch, Oshin Mishpat Simon, Tav, Chav, Hey. A rodef, the Chaver Lagos, someone's chasing after someone to kill him. The Yazir, they warn him, they say, hey buddy, what are you doing? A rodef, Acharav, I chased after him. Afilo Haya, rodef, Kotam. Even if the little 8-year-old has a machine gun or a mouth of cocktail. Hooray! There's a mitzvah! Latzil! First, Ava ever. First, to shoot him in his legs. Or shoot his arm. Okay? If I can have good aim, I can't shoot for the kill right away. I have to shoot to injure him. He says, what? If it's possible to save him, Ava, I can shoot his arm off, right? Because I have a movie type of, you know, beautiful aim. Okay? But I can't promise I'm going to knock it out of his hand or blow his arm off, all right? So what can I do? And the only way I can save him is if I'm going to kill him. Haray. It's a mitzvah for me to kill this guy, even though he hasn't killed anybody else yet. That's the halacha. Why is this guy in the... I understand. It's not, you know, it's a lot cooler to watch it on TV, someone die, than you actually causing someone to die. I understand that. But halachically, someone who comes to kill you, you have to defend yourself. It's a mitzvah. And it doesn't matter who that person is. There's no age requirement. I see your two dads, oh, you're over 20, good, I could shoot you. Next. We don't have time for the next one. We're over time. There's a whole issue of cutting down trees. We're not dealing with it. Next, Ramban. We'll end with Ramban. Right? The guy in the back who didn't know that there was a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, part of the sichot that we were talking about was that... no, you. was that the Ramban, in numerous places, says it's a mitzvah to live, to make sure that it's under the Jewish control, that we set up our government, that we're in charge, etc. We discussed that. Let's look what this says on the bottom. One more guy who hasn't been around so much this week. Go ahead.
Yovel Yvanu Him Hagoyim Yovel Nishmar Mikaratinu Ba.
Nah, skip that. The fee. Next, 2 lines on the bottom.
The Fisha Ara Shalo Yitalevi Barech Anachnu.
The land belongs to Akash Borg.
Anachnu Kalanu Girim Bitoshvim.
And we are living in it. And Hashem does not want us to bring others to live there. It is up to us. God is Baruch Hu gave us this land that we should be in the land and to return to the land. Those who want to see the mitzvah, we already said it's in the beginning of the Sefer Mitzvah of the Rambam. And so we see here the following.
Okay? One, there is a mitzvah, the land should be ours. There's no A area, B area, C area. There's Eretz Yisrael that we allow other people to live in. The assumption should be, we allow you to live there with a footnote that you behave. Behave means, I don't try to kill you. Behave means, I pay the tax. Behave means, I don't do Avodah Zarah. And by the way, just for the record, I'm sure you know, Islam is not considered Avodah Zarah. Christianity, maybe yes, maybe no. Here, we're not discussing that, okay? But Islam for sure is not Avodah Zarah. Okay? So all you're asking them is, please, don't fight us. Don't fight us, pay taxes. And the Israeli government allows them even not to do that. Don't be part of the army. So you're asking them not to kill you. That's what you're asking them to do. So when it comes to war, if they've already said no to peace, they've said no to going to somewhere else, and they don't want peace, they want to fight, so then you fight. You don't fight like with your pinky. If you're fighting, it's war, you fight. And you have to destroy the enemy. As far as I'm concerned, that's why I have a big problem with what that soldier said. And in my opinion, very much so. One Jewish chayal is worth more than 10 terrorists and 10 UN statements that will be made. Right? Especially if it's my kid. And if it's you, kid. And if it's one of you guys. Your blood is worth more than a terrorist. He chose to be a terrorist. We're trying to protect and do the mitzvah of protecting the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. It's up to Rabbi Nepel for having questions. It's up to you. Right. I'm done.
Right. So what we're going to do is